The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
And away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Today is Giving Tuesday. Might be a great time to remember your favorite nonprofit or charity today on this Tuesday, November 29th, 2022. Giving Tuesday. Buckmaster Show and the Green Things. Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI. The Voice, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. You can live stream our program on my website, buckmastershow.com and or kvoi.com. Our live line, which we will go to momentarily, is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. University of Arizona President Dr. Robert Robbins with us. Dr. Robbins, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. Thank you for having me on your show.
Always a pleasure. And before we talk about that great victory over ASU, I want to talk a little news with you. The Pima County Health Director, Dr. Cullen, is recommending folks in enclosed settings reconsider masks again with this triple threat we've got going on with a respiratory disease, not disease, but an ailment. We have the flu, and of course, we've got COVID. What do you think about perhaps folks masking in the classroom again if they wish, Dr. Robbins?
We've always encouraged people to mask if they thought to protect them or to protect others. So we still have people around campus who mask at all times. Just like when I fly, I see people with masks on in airports and on airplanes. So I would strongly encourage people to mask if they have comorbidities, and certainly if they are receiving cancer treatment that can affect your immune system, or if you have some sort of immunodeficient syndrome like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or sarcoid or something like that.
Increasingly, still with health, researchers and physician scientists, Dr. Robbins, are using this what's called precision medicine to develop new cell and gene-based therapeutic options for diseases. This really is the way of the future for healthcare, not only in the United States but worldwide. And I understand the University of Arizona will be going forward with a center that has been developed called the Center for Advanced Molecular and Immunological Therapies.
That's correct, yes. The governor invested money in that center, and I believe it's absolutely, if I look back in the last 25 years, mapping the human genome is probably the biggest thing that occurred in the last 25 years in health. If I look in the next 25 years, it's mapping the human immunome. Because we know a lot about the immunome, the human immunology system in our bodies, but we only know, in my opinion, the tip of the iceberg. So getting a better map of that, it's important in four areas: for immunotherapy for cancer and inflammation, that's the cause of cardiovascular and much of the Alzheimer's and dementia diseases we see, autoimmunity that I talked about earlier, and transplant immunology. And then the fourth area is obvious, it's infectious diseases. So having a better understanding of that, and we think this new center will put us internationally on the cutting edge of leading this effort.
You know, you're targeting, that has become such a big deal, isn't it, with targeting in cancer therapy, targeting the specific tumor.
Right. And so we're able, going back to that previous 25 years, you're able to sequence the genome of the tumor, and you also can sequence the genome of the patient in which the tumor is growing, and then you, as you rightly point out, you can devise customized, individualized, personalized treatments for cancers. And it's becoming more and more part of the mainstream. Certainly in this state, we've got a lot of melanoma, skin cancer. And that's becoming the default treatment, not chemotherapy and radiation. Surgery is still part of it, but it's to train and educate and then mobilize your own immune system to fight and kill the cancer.
How soon will that center be up and running, Dr. Robbins?
Well, we still have to, it's about a $325 million building, so we can bond some of that money. We think it's going to be in Phoenix at our Phoenix Biomedical, Phoenix Bioscience Core, the PBC, and we're going to get significant money from the city, Phoenix, and the Maricopa Board of Supervisors. We're hoping to get some funding from them, and then we'll bond some. And then part of our big university campaign, philanthropic fundraising campaign, we hope to get the balance of the building. So we're hoping to be able to break ground within the next, say, 24 to 30 months.
What a successful weekend for sports. The men's basketball team, now the fourth-ranked team in the country. They jumped 10 places after winning the Maui Hawaii Classic, and then the very big day with Arizona beating ASU in football. Coach Fish has won only one game last year. This year, winning five games. I guess everyone's saying this has got to be a success, a great second year for Coach Fish.
Yeah, no question about it. He had, and this is why, you know, great players make great coaches. He had a phenomenal recruiting class last year, and we're hopeful that he'll have as good or even better recruiting class this year. And that's what it takes. It takes getting the players. I mean, if you look at the players that we had last year compared to the players we had the year before, it was night and day. We were bigger, faster, stronger, and more experienced, even though on the defense there were nine first-year players that play significant time. So they'll only get better next year. So I think next year is, depending on his recruiting class, starting as soon as that game ended, he started recruiting and has been recruiting that class. And we should hear some announcements, for signing day coming up soon.
You know, now that we are in kind of the off season, at least for the University of Arizona football program, and then after the bowl games, the talk will again heat up, Dr. Robbins, about teams exiting. We know UCLA and USC are leaving the pack, and we might see Oregon and Washington. What's the latest thinking on that, Dr. Robbins?
Well, I think, Bill, that we have solidarity with the 10 teams that are left, and we're working on getting a media deal. The hope would be that before the calendar year of 23 comes around, we would have a media deal. And so I know our commissioner and all the presidents and athletic directors in the Pac-12 are working feverishly to try to get a media deal. There continues to be this intriguing narrative coming out of the Board of Regents at the State of California or the University of California Board of Regents about the potential for UCLA not going to the Big Ten and staying in the Pac. It would be 11, I guess, because USC is a private institution and it's gone. They're going to move on to the Big Ten. I think we can hold our 10 schools together at least over the next 5 to 7 years as we signed a shorter media deal. I don't think anybody's really eager to sign much beyond 7 years, the so-called grant of rights. So it's going to be an interesting 6 weeks coming up as we try to maneuver through, can we get a media deal done before January?
All right, Dr. Robbins, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much for visiting with us. We'll look forward to your next time with us, and I hope you and yours have a wonderful Christmas holiday season, Dr. Robbins.
Okay, Bill, same to you. Thank you always for having me on your show.
Thank you very much. Coming up next, Shelley Fishman. Shelley's giving me kind of a neutral sign. The markets are kind of blah today. One thing that isn't blah, they had a wonderful Thanksgiving season up at Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Right now, I want folks to start thinking about maybe a Danish Kringle on Christmas morning. That sounds pretty darn good. Or maybe Christmas Eve morning. Mona's Danish Bakery is open right now for lunch. We had lunch up there on Sunday, and they do a great lunch. We talk so much about their outstanding breakfast. Well, lunch is great, too. Might want to stop by. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. They open for breakfast 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, and then Sunday 7 to 2. They take Monday off. Well deserved. Shelley Fishman is next. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And Here we go. Shelley, I hope you and yours had a great Thanksgiving.
It was wonderful. It was fattening. I'm still recovering from it and probably have some leftovers even tonight.
Everyone I ever ask about Thanksgiving will say, I ate too much.
Yeah, it's just the American way.
It's just the American way. Hey, well, we're talking about China again. Here we go again. Supply chain and their zero policy on COVID, which is really, really not the way to go. First of all, their vaccine is very questionable for COVID. And this policy about like 3 years now of lockdowns doesn't work.
So what's happening in China was, I think, overstated perhaps a bit by the news media, because what was going on is that one event in one city spread throughout the country into a series of demonstrations that were not only against the no COVID policy, but over, you know, kind of overtopped that cup and became anti-communist party demonstrations. Those demonstrations, as far as I can tell, from what I've, you know, read and seen in the media, never got to more than a couple of hundred people at a time, but it was in several cities. Mm-hmm. And as a result, given what's happening in Iran and given what's happening with the war in Ukraine, there was a kind of lumping together of the idea that turmoil anywhere can cause disruptions, not only in the supply chain, but generally cause disruptions in people's ability and willingness to look ahead and think that things are going to be okay. We had a November, quite frankly, that was one of the best Novembers in the history of markets until yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday was a down day. It was, you know, looked to be like a 300 point on the Dow. It wound up being over 500 points on the Dow as people began to think about what the supply chain problems from China could be, but also how the disruptions in just the general world of interconnected economic systems could affect inflation, could affect the price of gas, could just affect people's lives in general. And the idea that here in the United States, the Fed would continue to view with alarm higher prices caused by supply chain problems.
But this market could have, if you put China, maybe put that aside for a moment, the market could have reacted very positive to the sales numbers over the Thanksgiving weekend.
Duh. So the sales numbers over the weekend and the numbers for yesterday and Saturday came out
Black
this morning.
Friday, but the right. Black Friday now has continued into Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday.
So you take that weekend, and it's gangbusters.
It was records that we haven't seen before. With the numbers that came out this morning, the weekend looked like it was over $21 billion in retail spending. Now, I understand that there is a whole segment of the population for whom the inflation numbers are really worrying.
Sure.
And I don't want to seem insensitive to that. However, the American consumer has just spent more in 3 days than ever before in the same 3 days in its history. And so you have to think that the statistics that have come out to show that the stimulus money, the COVID money that got into people's checking accounts and had not been used up was in fact still there, and that just a large swath of the population was just anxious to spend, And as soon as prices were reduced by retailers, and lots of reasons they were reduced as much as they were, one being that, because of the supply chain problems, many retailers had overstocked.
Yeah, they needed to get rid of that
needed to get
stock.
Rid of inventory.
Yeah.
And so there were bargains galore, and the American consumer went out and spent like mad. And so when you take a look at that, you take a look at there seemed to be this morning in the stock market some residual from yesterday, but that's cleared up. It looks like we're going to have a flat day. Mm-hmm. And once these numbers are well understood by the investment community, I think the balance of November and the balance of December will continue to show that we could, as I have been predicting, even have a somewhat positive year in the markets.
And it carried over to travel. We
it
were
did.
Talking with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel yesterday, and Ryan pointed out that, Shelley, we are now back to the pre-pandemic levels of travel.
Right.
The
Even
TSA
the
numbers.
Price has gone up significantly.
Exactly.
Yes.
The price has gone up, but people do not want to cut back on this travel. It's a lot of it's pent up from the last couple of years.
And they have the money, apparently, to do it. So, I mean, gas prices are down. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you kind of an extreme example of something that you have to scratch your head and say, you know, if really smart, successful people are convinced that we are either in a recession or going to be in a recession, you know, would they spend $80,000 per seat for a Taylor Swift concert? Now, well, I get it that this is a very popular star.
Yeah,
and she
get
hasn't
it.
Performed for a couple of years because of COVID.
$80,000.
But
what
happens is that the online ticket selling bureau got swamped by bots, essentially. All the tickets got snapped up and then are being scalped. And the highest ticket sales number that at least I've seen, and it was not rare, was $80,000 a ticket. Now, you know, I love music. I was a musician. I still pretend to be a musician. But $80,000? How does that square with the investment community and people in the news media saying that 2023 we're going to have a recession?
I don't get
it. It just doesn't. And that's why the market's been very optimistic. That's why investors have been saying that this economy is a healthy economy. We still have 5 million or so jobs we can't fill. The unemployment rate, you know, last ticked up to 3.7%. Gosh, that's full employment. You know, again, I am cautiously optimistic that the Fed will ease off a little bit.
When's their next meeting?
Oh, gosh.
Is it, but it's this month, right?
No, I believe it's the first week of next month.
Oh, I keep thinking, I automatically, when Thanksgiving happens, I automatically think the next day is December, and it is not.
Right.
We are still in November, so it will be in December sometime next month that they'll meet.
And we have, even though there is some craziness going on in Pennsylvania and Arizona, we will have divided government. The market has always loved divided government, and after an election with that result, the markets have generally gone gangbusters. So past performance, my recorded announcement, past performance is no indication of future performance. Given that, if past performance is repeated in the markets between now and the end of the year, we will have not a great year, not a very good year, but a surprisingly good year, given the fact that we were almost in a bear market.
For a couple of days.
For a couple of days.
And it looks like the latest thinking on the rail strike that might not happen now. The unions are saying they don't like what the government has been proposing, so they're going to go try to settle this themselves?
According to a meeting that was at the White House today, both the majority leader and the speaker, and then the minority leader, Mr. McCarthy, were in front of the microphones earlier today and basically said, I don't like it. This should never have happened. You know, you should never announce a victory without a real victory. Nevertheless, it looks like the Congress is going to essentially stop the strike and impose some conditions on the railroads and on the unions. That's probably a good thing. That's the way it used to happen.
Yep.
You know, they'd announce a strike and then Congress would say, no, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's another problem that's kind of interesting that, you know, there's no legislative solution for, and that's the water levels in the Mississippi. Which have dropped to such an extent.
Historic lows, aren't they?
Right. That the amount of traffic that can actually be transported on the river is at a point where it could actually threaten the economy to some extent.
Wow.
So there's a bunch of stuff going on.
Always
that is
a problem
troubling,
to keep an eye on, right?
Precisely.
but
again,
full of
the
them.
Investment community and apparently the American consumer are very optimistic about the future. And so am I.
All right. On that note, Shelley, we will leave it right there. Hope you have a great rest of the week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
Look forward to December.
All right.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Giving Tuesday as we get ready to wrap up the month of November tomorrow, even though I said earlier in the show it felt like December. It always feels like December right after Thanksgiving. Well, it feels like December and Christmas over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. I think they've got the largest collection of Talavera pottery, beautiful pottery imported from Mexico of anywhere in Arizona. A 13-acre site has Zocalo Village, which has the Talavera pottery and some beautiful imported items that could really brighten up your Christmas, including a punched tin Christmas tree. You might want to check that out. And, of course, over on the nursery side of the business, they grew 20,000 poinsettias in every imaginable color. They will be going fast, so you might want to go by. Pick up some or put in your order as we get closer even to Christmas. Wouldn't wait too long, though. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things in the 52nd year of business. They are open daily. When we do our telephone interviews, which we will do here momentarily, that is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate, and they take care of so many beautiful real estate things here and property management, great organization. Our contributor on health, we're so delighted to have Will Humble with us. Will's one of two dozen or so regular contributors. We talk about public health with Will once a month on the show. He's director of marketing and public relations and executive director of a really fine organization, Arizona Public Health Association. Will is a one-time agency director at the Arizona Department of Health Services. Will, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was terrific. Yeah, it was really nice. It was kind of small. We didn't have a whole big crew, which made it kind of easier, but it was nice.
You haven't said the magic words. Every time I ask somebody this, they will usually say, I ate too much. Are you in that camp?
Oh, no.
You didn't. You didn't.
Well, I was more of a like eating all day, but not too much all at once kind of thing.
There you go. Hey, we've got a triple threat going on down here, and it's not a good triple threat. We have this respiratory disease. I guess you could, it is a disease or ailment known as RSV, coupled with a really bad flu season, and we've got COVID rearing its ugly head. Dr. Cullen saying now that RSV is transmitting at about 10 to 11 times the number typically seen at this time of year. How serious is this triple threat, Will Humble?
Well, so it depends. You're right on target with what's going on. This RSV, which is a virus, is off the charts this year. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. There's just so many cases out there. It's most dangerous for little kids, especially those under one. It's a very contagious virus. In fact, there's been some studies done that says among two-year-olds, 100% will have been infected with RSV at some point. Among one-year-olds, once they're one-year-old, there's a 70% chance that the kid's been infected with RSV. So it's a really common and very contagious virus. The issue is that these infections are all happening all at once at the beginning of this influenza season. So the biggest strain on the hospital system statewide, but especially in Southeast Arizona, is among pediatric beds, and not just beds, but having the kind of staffing that you need to manage pediatric, especially younger, really young kids. But, you know, the hospitals are busy up training nurses so that they're better able to, you know, support 1 and 2 year olds when they may not have done that earlier in their practice. So staffing is the biggest thing for kids right now because of RSV. You mentioned influenza, and it's on the increase now, but we're not anywhere near our peak yet. We're in that exponential growth phase. We're on track, I would say, to be peaking on influenza probably around New Year's, something like that. But by then, I would expect RSV to be on the way down, having run its course. And then the third thing is this COVID infection wave, which we're in the middle of right now, but it's not causing anywhere near the number of hospitalizations that we had at this time last year with that brand new Omicron virus.
Dr. Fauci is still around. In fact, he was on a couple of the Sunday talk shows before he retires here, I think at the end of the year. He says we're certainly still in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. That's kind of, I wish he had said we were at the end of it. After all, this is our third winter talking about COVID.
I agree with him a lot of times. I don't agree with him on that.
Yeah.
Here's what I would say is we are in the, we're past the epidemic phase of this thing. We're in the what we call the endemic phase, meaning it's not gone away and it will never go away. But these infection waves are predictable. It's on a 6-month cycle. We talked on this show at the end of the summer wave that it was going to happen right after Thanksgiving, and sure enough, it's here. It's a 6-month wave, which means it's predictable, but it's manageable because many people have, well, basically everyone's either been vaccinated or infected or both, and so there's residual immunity, and so it's not going to cause this anywhere near the kind of, well, deaths and really bad outcomes that it did on those earlier waves. So I think it's a mistake to say that we're you know, it's worth the beginning of this or even the middle of this thing. We're in the endemic phase.
New York Times today, the 1 year after the variant's discovery, talking about Omicron, virologists scramble to keep up with its mutations. The article does say, actually pretty deep in the article, in fact, maybe the second to last paragraph. Fortunately, the new subvariants don't seem to be more deadly than the earlier forms of Omicron.
That's true. And there's two reasons for it. Number one is just I just mentioned it a second ago, that, you know, the residual immunity in the community. So the antibodies that people have on board and T cells, important part of your immune system, that people have developed either through infection or vaccine or both. And that is reducing the bad outcomes. But the other part is just natural selection, because over time, we've talked about this on the show before, too. Over time, the tendency is for viruses that mutate like this one to become more transmissible but less lethal. And why? Because the goal of a virus is to reproduce. That's all it wants to do. It wants to make more copies of itself. And the way you make more copies of yourself is to infect more people but not kill your host. You kill your host, you're not going to infect anybody after that. So that's natural selection at work.
One more COVID thing, and then the second half of our discussion will not be COVID-related, but it's important. Masks work to cut COVID spread, a study of Boston school districts finds. And I think we all knew this, or a lot of people knew, that the masks are effective. And now Dr. Cullen is saying that if folks feel comfortable masking up again, by all means do so. And I do see occasionally folks wearing masks. What do you think, Will?
Well, two things. That study showed that universal masking is what works in classrooms. And by that, I mean, if you get a mask, even a low quality mask, on all the kids in the classroom, it keeps the particles out of the air, and then the kids don't get infections, and then they don't, you know, they're not out of school and that kind of stuff. So even low quality masks work great if everyone's wearing them in the classroom. That's what that study showed. Now, for people that want to go out into the community or go to crowded places who might be immunocompromised and otherwise just don't want to get infected, the low quality mask is not the way to go. Mm-hmm. because no one, because very few, or at least less than half of the people in those places are going to be wearing masks. So the virus is going to be in the air. So the thing you need to do is, if you want, is to wear a high quality N95, KN95, N94 mask. Those are the and wear them tight. They got to be tight, you know, tight fitting. Those are the ones that would work for individual masking. And now is the time to do that. We talked maybe, I think, 2 months ago about masks, and I think I said just to make a whole lot of sense right then, but now it does, because there's a lot of virus, especially in those crowded indoor environments.
All right, let's take a break right here. We'll have a new governor, Governor-elect Hobbs. What does that mean for public health? Will Humble answers that, I hope, right after the break.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, urging our listeners to take a road trip to Silver City over the holidays. Only a 3-hour drive east of Tucson. It will be completely different from anything you ever imagined. It is a wonderful location just to get away, enjoy some of the outdoor activities, and just hang out in a really different environment. They have some beautiful Victorian architecture in Silver City in the downtown area. Western New Mexico University is there. They have a museum that is world-class when it comes to the Mimbres pottery. It is a beautiful exhibit, something really different for you. Visit southwestnewmexico.org on where to go
what to do, where to stay, where to eat. Great suggestions. 3-hour drive east of Tucson. We continue now with the former Arizona Director of Public Health, Will Humble. He is our contributor on public health. Will, there are, in my, I always have, a stack of stuff for you. So there are two areas I want to cover in this next segment. Arizona's made decisions on some ballot measures, and we talked about this from a public health perspective with you before the election. So I guess Arizonans approved 7 ballot measures and rejected 3 others in the recent election. What are the public health ramifications, please?
So I'll start with a good thing. At least in my opinion, it's good for public health. And I wrote an argument in the voter guide publicity pamphlet on this, and that's Prop 209. That's the Predatory Debt Collection Protection Act. That path, the voters approved that by a wide margin. What that will do is level the playing field for people, especially for people with medical debt, by limiting the interest rate that can be charged on medical debt, but also putting some guardrails in place so that people don't have their wages garnished if they're already underneath the poverty level. So those will take effect after the election is certified pretty soon. So I would say if I was going to, you know, mention one thing that will have probably the biggest impact on public health in a good way, it would be Prop 209. And the reason for that is because, you know, a dominant determinant of a family's health status is their ability to support their family and their kids. And when you've got a bunch of medical debt over your, you know, hanging over you, it just makes it a lot more difficult to be able to feed your family and buy school materials and, you know, have a safe environment for your family. So that's probably the biggest thing. I was disappointed to see the voters turn down Proposition 310. That was a 0.1% sales tax that would have gone, that was statewide, that would have provided some additional resources to rural fire districts. There's about 140 of these rural fire districts in rural and frontier parts of Arizona, and they're terribly underfunded. And quite honestly, they're providing substandard care. And I'm not faulting the volunteers and the workers in those fire districts. It's just they don't have the resources, the ability to pay salaries, the equipment and the training that's needed to provide good enough care. And sadly, you know, the voters did not approve that. And interestingly, I thought this was interesting, Bill. I did a deep dive into where the yes and no votes came from.
Yeah.
And urban people in Phoenix and Tucson were willing to pay the tax.
Yeah.
By and large, which would have gone to these rural districts. And rural people voted no.
What?
And killed it. So what? I know. Like, the urban people were going to pay the tax that would go to their rural fire district.
Yeah.
And the rural places voted no, except for tribal. Tribal members had rural people's back. They voted yes by a wide margin. But after the election was over, I kind of thought I better look at this because I have a suspicion that rural voters just are like, well, this is a tax and I'm voting no, without fully understanding that it was a tax going to be paid mostly by urban people and that the benefits would be to the rural fire districts and emergency medical service districts. So that was the biggest head scratcher. Well, and I think I would call the biggest missed opportunity, really.
You hit the nail on the head. People saw the word tax and they voted no. So, unfortunately, because we're talking the cost of a cup of coffee or something, it was just really, really.
Well, yeah, it was 0.1% is like 10 cents on $100 or something. I mean, it's not much.
Yeah, it wasn't much.
Yeah, 10 cents on $100.
Okay, Governor-elect Hobbs has formed a diverse transition team. Let me ask you, we're going to have, it looks like, 3 Democrats at the top of state government. That hasn't happened, Will, since the 1970s. What are the public health implications of this real different change of leadership?
Well, if you look at, so let's start with state government as a whole. It goes, your previous guest was talking about how markets love divided government.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what we're going to have for the first time in a long, long time, mm-hmm. is ever since Napolitano left. So we're going to have an executive branch run by Governor-elect Hobbs, soon to be governor in 34 days. And she's going to hire people in those agencies like health services, access, DES, Department of Housing, and so forth, that will be making decisions that are consistent with what, her priorities are. And then you've got a state legislature, which is, even though the margins are the same in the House and Senate, it's arguably a more conservative cohort in both the House and Senate. So that's sort of the stage we're setting here. You asked me what's it going to do for public health. I think the biggest thing, I don't expect to see a whole lot of legislation, good or bad, for public health going through, because now we have checks and balances in the system because we've got divided government and a governor who would be willing and able and has the ability, at least, to veto bills that are harmful to public health, and a state legislature that's unlikely to approve anything that's, you know, super liberal for public health. So I think the action is really going to be public health action is going to be happening in those executive branch agencies, places like Access, our state Medicaid program, the state health department. What priorities are they going to set? How are they going to organize their, you know, the grants that they apply for from on the federal side? What are their priorities? So I expect really the action to be within those executive branch agencies for the next couple of years, rather than, you know, watershed type of legislation, because it's checks and balances now.
Thank you, by the way, for publishing the whole list of the 30 members. I've got that in front of me, of the transition team. Other than this gentleman, Alfred Urbina, the attorney general for the Pascua Yaqui tribe, I don't see. Wait a minute. I do see Rahina Romero also is on the list. So you've got a couple of representatives from the Tucson area.
Yeah, there's some rural representation, some from the southeast, there's a couple tribal members. It's a pretty diverse group. You know, here's the thing. I've been in state government for a long, long time, and this transition team is much like any other transition team that I've seen. And if you look at the list, the one thing that strikes you is that all of these people have lots of connections. Like, they know a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they've been around for a long time in the state. And that's who you want on a transition team, people with lots of connections with, I know no one has Rolodexes anymore, but people who have a lot of contacts in their phone that they can call for and get what I call surveillance, look into the community to get some opinions about, the agency heads, the staff, that are at the agencies now and potential candidates for new positions within the executive branch. And remember, they got to staff up the whole governor's office too. So, we only have 34 days left. This transition is really, really fast. The only faster one was the one that Brewer had, because the Napolitano left with such little notice. And there's a whole lot of decisions that governor-elect and her chief of staff, Allie Bones, are going to be making over the next couple weeks, 3-4 weeks.
And by the way, I don't have a Rolodex, but I've still got my little black book, Will, so I'm real.
I have a three-ring binder with a whole bunch of business cards.
I've got a pretty extensive, know a lot of people. I guess that's what happens if you're in the media for going to go on 35 years here in January in Southern Arizona. Anyway, Will, appreciate the time. We'll look forward to your holiday visit with us, kind of an end of year wrap up. Thanks, Will, and hope you have a great holiday season.
All right. You too, Bill. Thanks.
All right. That will do it for the Buckmaster Show, the last Tuesday of November. We've got Talking About Money. We've got the Dave Ramsey Show. It's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, Fletcher McCusker joins us. Terry Goddard. We're going to spend a half hour with the former Arizona Attorney General talking about that. He's a very happy man because he was the one pushing for that dark money, banning the dark money initiative. Lots to talk about with Mr. Goddard. That's tomorrow. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.